Today we celebrate the answer to the prayer that we were just singing. We're praying, give me Jesus. And Christmas we celebrate the giving of God's only begotten Son because of His great love for us. And so we celebrate. We're gathered here. We don't usually get together on a Tuesday night. Is that what day it is? Tuesday, thank you. Appreciate it. We're gathered here for an occasion. The occasion is the birth of Jesus to celebrate. And it reminds me, I was reminded this week of a couple occasions where people remembered the birth of Jesus. 21 years ago, I believe it was, my Christmas Eve, my brother and my dad had some pretty sharp disagreements, and on the occasion of Christmas, they reconciled to get together, and they made a lamp out of some found objects, some items that they had around the house. It was kind of an art piece. They reconciled on the occasion of the birth of Jesus to make a gift to give to me, and that was a significant moment in my life. I was thinking of another occasion where people remembered the birth of Jesus. It was about 110 years ago, 1914, in the trenches of World War I. Some of you might know this story, and I don't want to mess it up. I'm not a history teacher. But World War I was about 5 months deep, and truthfully, I think a lot of the soldiers that were there fighting had joined enthusiastically and maybe assumed that they'd be done by Christmas, but it was clear that this was a different war. And really, it was hell on earth. We had some new technology, machine guns, and new chemicals, and new chemical weapons, and new types of warfare. And it was truly hell on earth. And Christmas Eve, trenches not very far apart, you had Germans and British soldiers separated by a no man's land, littered with shells, you know, craters from explosions, bodies of the fallen. And the occasion of Christmas Eve, some German soldiers began to sing in German, Silent Night. I'm not sure how to say that in German. And it carried over the no man's land, and the British soldiers recognized it, and they requested more, and they began to sing along. And carols were exchanged in the middle of these hostilities, and depending on how the different stories go, they may have raised a banner, the Germans, that said, me no shoot, you no shoot, or something like that along those lines, or it may have been yelled across the short distance. And a truce in some parts of the lines were declared on Christmas Day, and the soldiers met in that no man's land. They were able to gather and bury some of the deceased. They were able to, at times, share a meal together. They were able to exchange pleasantries, even in the midst of hell on earth. There's some accounts that there were even some Germans that met neighbors because they had lived in England prior to the war. Supposedly one British fellow met his German barber who lived down the street and got a trim on the battle lines in no man's land from the enemy. They gathered to sing carols, to share meals, and one of my favorite parts, this is a culmination of some of my favorite things, Jesus and history, as well as soccer. Someone produced a soccer ball, and they had a kickabout, as they put it in their own words, in the no man's land. It wasn't much of a game. There were hundreds of soldiers chasing the ball, falling over all kinds of debris and holes and craters. And for an occasion, they came together to remember Jesus' birthday. And it seemed for an occasion, the promises of the prophets and even of our Christmas carols, of our scriptures, were coming true, where heaven came to earth in the midst of one of the most imaginable hells that existed on earth. Unfortunately, it was just an occasion. You know, fighting resumed, and in the subsequent years, officers worked really hard to make sure that a similar getting together in truce, which were probably bad for the fighting spirit, I would say, didn't happen. But this is remembered as an iconic action event of hope, of humanity, of peace on earth, and it's remembered. And it's remembered on the occasion surrounding the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And so we sing hymns. I love to sing hymns at Christmas time. Do you guys like to sing Christmas carols? I like the ones that are particularly about Jesus. I don't get too excited about jingle bells and reindeer songs and that sort of thing. But I like to sing, "Surely He Taught Us to Love One Another. In His name, all oppression should cease." I love to sing, O come, Emmanuel. And Silent Night, O Holy Night. Hark, the herald angels sing. And so we're here to celebrate, and I guess we're wrapping up a preaching series we did on the heart of Christmas. We talked about how hope, expectation is at the heart of Christmas, how peace, the Prince of Peace of Jesus, is at the heart of Christmas, how joy is at the heart of Christmas, and love is at the heart of Christmas, and all of those are aspects of the real heart of Christmas. It's Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Christ, the incarnation, the coming, the advent of Jesus into the world. And I want to challenge you today that you don't just celebrate an occasion, that your celebration, your remembering, maybe a lifted spirit, a changed attitude, a little bit of brotherly love, is not just an occasional fleeting thing, but it's a sustained action and movement in your life. I would challenge you to become a follower, a disciple of Jesus. We had some of the children up here, and I loved it when they were reading familiar scriptures from Isaiah and from Micah, and especially from John. John is maybe not a traditional Christmas reading, but I really love the first chapter of John. In John 1:4, it's talking of Jesus, and it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And it's, I was thinking about that story, and you know, and if you listen to some news sources, it seems like we might be on the verge of another world war. It's hard to imagine. But we have hope. And we don't look just to the past of the first coming of Jesus, but really we have a sustaining hope because we look to another advent, a second coming of Jesus. And in the in-between, we have the Spirit of God, the presence of Jesus with us to sustain us, to empower us to endure and to be like He was, to be a light that shines in darkness. And no matter how overwhelming the darkness seems as we follow Jesus, Callum, I saw that, that we would shine into the darkness. And we have that promise that the darkness will not overcome it. And so I want to encourage you today. It's the birthday of Jesus. And I used to do this thing. I would pass out these scriptures to people. I had a challenge. I had a challenge that I would issue. I think I called it at different times the Jesus challenge. And I would make statements or requests from Jesus, and I would challenge people, and it would be random envelopes. And I would say, you know, today or Christmas season, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. Would you like to give Jesus a gift? Here's something He asked for. And it would be a random draw of these envelopes of commands or requests or challenges or teachings of Jesus, and the person taking the envelope would make a commitment to do their best to see that out. And some of it was, you can read through Scripture, you know, and I like to think of searching through the Gospels as, you know, picking up hints. If this is Christmas, Jesus' birthday, we want to give Him gifts, we can look at the words He said to gather hints of what He would like. I'm not a great gift giver, and somehow I always miss the hints that my wife drops, whether it's her birthday or Christmas. And more often than not, she might say that she doesn't need anything or want anything. But I know we have some newlyweds in here, by the way. If your wife says that, I'm not saying she's not telling the truth, but don't take her at her word there. Get her a gift and put some thought into it. And if you're careful, I bet, if you look back at her actions or her words or subtle or not so subtle hints, you can find probably what she wants for Christmas or for her birthday. And we do have some newlyweds, don't we? Chase and Bailey are here. We have some new marriages. This is an awesome Christmas because it's a Christmas of firsts. We have first Christmases as a couple. We have some first Christmases with some newborns, as a newborn or parent. Elias, we have Elena. Are there any more newborns here for their first Christmas? I don't know. It's exciting. It's exciting to mark a milestone in the year and then have new life, new occasion. And it may be, for some of us, it's a first Christmas without someone. And that's a different kind of remembering and celebrating and looking back. So we can look at the life of Jesus. I was trying to think, just racking my brain for things that Jesus said or wanted. And if you are a regular attender here, we'll be going through some discipleship materials, looking at taking seriously the call to be a disciple of Jesus. And we're going to look at this more in depth. But when Jesus began to teach, he called people to him and he said, "The kingdom is near, repent and believe. Change your thinking, change your ways, change your mindset, change your worldview, because God's kingdom is here, it's at hand, and you're going to have to see things in a different way from the way that you've believed and you've seen the world." Think about Jesus' words. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I love how the Message said it. "Come to me and learn the unforced rhythms of grace." I want to learn from Jesus the unforced rhythms of grace. So if you want to give Jesus a gift, you can come to him. I think about the gift the boy gave him of the feeding of the 5,000. He gave him loaves and fishes. He put into Jesus' hands all that he had, and Jesus performed a miracle. Maybe you would give to Jesus all that you have, the resources at your disposal, and see what he would do with them. See what miracle he would perform to take care of the needy around you. I think of the tax collector who threw a dinner party and invited all his friends and told them about Jesus and what he'd done. I think about the alabaster box or jar, the container of pure nard or pure oil that was broken, fragrant oil, at Jesus' feet, a gift given to him to celebrate him. And his disciples, some of them were upset that this could be sold and given to the poor. And Jesus celebrated that extravagant gift. He said, "The poor you will always have with you, but I won't be with you. This was done to prepare for my burial." But it's not that Jesus didn't care for the poor. I was thinking about the sheep and the goats when he said, "I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you gave me clothes." You know, the sheep will say, "When did we do this? When did we see you in these conditions?" And Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, that you do to me." So perhaps in there is something that you can give to Jesus on occasion of his birthday. I also think about the call of Jesus to be his disciple. That was heavy or hard on his heart. That was strong on his heart. That was a desire that he wished that we would follow him, that we would take up our cross and follow him and be his disciple. And I think of the last request, really not a request, the command that he gave to his disciples, "Go into all the world and make disciples." So he called them to be disciples, and he called them to go and make disciples. You know, if you read carefully through scriptures, you get an idea of the gifts that would touch Jesus' heart. And so as kind of a Christmas meditation or reflection today, I challenge you to consider what you'll give to Jesus on his birthday. And that it wouldn't just be an occasion for the day, but that it would be something to sustain through the year, to last for the rest of your life. I mentioned there's a second advent, a second coming. And when you read in the New Testament, you often see a remembrance of the coming of Jesus, the advent, the birth, the incarnation, sandwiched with a reminder to look for the second coming of Jesus. I think if we only look back, maybe, you know, we can be motivated for an occasion to muster up an effort to do something for Jesus. But it's when we really look and believe and await and hope in the second coming, I think that we get sustaining endurance because he returns and he rewards those who diligently seek him. One of my favorite places that this is evident is in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." He's talking about the coming of Jesus, the gospel, the life of Jesus. He says it trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's reminding us of the appearing of Jesus in the birth, and he's reminding us of the waiting for the second coming of Jesus, that sandwiched with the command to live a life, as he says elsewhere, worthy, live a manner of life worthy of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So I pray that through our celebration, through our gift giving, our decorations, our cleaning up, our putting away of decorations. I joked about, you know, having my box ready for the wrapping paper to burn it as soon as we're done, and the other boxes for the decorations. I don't want to be a Scrooge or anything, but oh, okay, no heckling, please, from the front row. Okay. I just like a tidy living room, you know? But as you go through and maybe, you know, you experience hope or expectation or excitement, or whether you experience, you know, kind of a letdown or a disappointment, or maybe a sorrow that it's over so soon, that we would remember the real reason and that we would look for the second coming and we would consider doing what Paul wrote in Romans 12, that we would give a gift to Jesus, that we would offer something to him, but what we would offer, what Paul asks, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." That we would offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, living for Jesus, bringing to light the life that he lived, imitating him, mirroring him, as we're going to study as we go through the discipleship material, being with him, becoming like him, and then doing what he did in the world. So I want to take a moment. I'll have the worship team come back up. I think they have a couple more songs that we can sing together. But please consider what you'll offer to Jesus on the occasion of his birthday. A gift that will last through the years, will last through the year, that will sustain you. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, we don't want to just remember for an occasion, return to our fighting, return to our warfare, return to our petty differences, our offenses, our idols, our shallowness. We don't want to be consumed or conformed to the pattern of this world. We want to live the life that you live. We want to embody the life that you came to show us. In you, Jesus was life, and your life was the light of men. And so, Jesus, we want to live like you. We offer ourselves to you. As we close and sing a couple songs, would you be honored?